What is up, After Buzzers? It's my favorite day of the week. I did cry this episode. I mean, who could have guessed that? But we are on episode 13 already. We are almost at the end. We have 18 episodes. This was a doozy, guys, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
That's all I got for this song, but I got that one. I
got that part.
This song will forever be extremely depressing for me now.
I'm so sad right now. Like, did you guys pick this song?
Okay, I cry every episode. But no, this one, I, like,
she never
sobbed.
Like, literally had a tears coming down.
Like, streaming. It was crazy.
I thought you
it
were fake crying.
No, like, I was, like, having to stop myself from crying. It was a lot, guys. What is up? Thank you so much for joining us on your favorite night of the week, on Tuesday night, for This Is Us. We're on episode 13. That'll be the day.
Yeah.
So we have a lot to cover, so we'll jump right in. My name is Candace Cruz. You can find me on all my social media at Candace R. Cruz. We Keith back!
Yes.
Yay!
Welcome back! In the building. What's up, everybody? I am Keith Andre here. The episode was intense. The tears... I've forgotten how much she cries.
How could you forget?
You guys
how
can could follow you forget? Me everywhere on social media at Keith_Andre.
And I'm Lena Nori. I have no idea how Keith forgot how much Candace cries. You can't miss the waterworks.
It's going to happen tonight.
You can find me all over the internet at Lena Nori. And this episode is so bittersweet for me. I don't even know how I feel about it. Mm-hmm.
Yep, bittersweet is the right word. Yeah. I would agree with that. I'm Erica Shannon, and you can find me on Twitter at Miss Airy Baby.
God, to be honest, even though it was so, like, heart-wrenching for me, I feel like this is one of the best episodes we've had in a stretch.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm weird. I'm with Lena.
No.
I'm weird about it.
I think I'm with you guys, too.
It's like from day, whatever, one of season two, we've been wanting to know. Since season one, we've been wanting to know how Jack dies. All of season two, we said it. And it's, we finally got a taste of it. And, like, I just got chills. I don't like it. Like, I don't...
You don't like the way he died, or you don't like the fact that he died?
No, I don't like the fact that they finally gave it to me. Like,
You went ask every week!
No, but it's like... have you guys ever had something that you wanted so bad, like, you wanted to know, and then when you find out, it just opens up a boatload of emotions, and you're like, wait, stop.
No, I don't know how you feel at all. Nope.
I'll take
that. Is it bittersweet? Like,
it
oh
is
my God.
Bittersweet, but for me, it was more about, I felt like, even last week, I felt like these episodes, they were moving a little bit slow for me.
And
I don't
boom.
Know about the pacing, and then it's like jam-packed at the end, which is something we're kind of used to, but I don't know. I'm still like, what in the world? That's a lot.
I thought what I really liked was that they had so much more character development for all of them, even on the other side when we're seeing like present day. I feel like there was just so much more relationship going on rather than like hopping around and like covering story. It was just being.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why that like, for some people, maybe that wasn't like, doesn't float their boat. But for me, just them as people interacting and really interacting and just living their lives and like seeing how that how that ties into their experiences, like with the construction and all of it tied in very beautifully, but it wasn't so on the nose either until the very end.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what got me really emotional was the fact that putting all the puzzle pieces together, realizing that this was the day that it happened, and all the stuff that led up to it, of like realizing that this is, we know as an audience that this is the last moment that they're going to be with their dad, but they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what got to me so much.
I think that is the part too. And I started to think, well, would you, you know, in retrospect, you can see everything perfectly.
Of course.
You start to think, well, are there cues that they should have picked up on? Or even the weight of having like the Super Bowl, you know what I mean? Like this last Super Bowl of our family, that's the memory that we're stuck with when we've done it every year for our whole lives, and the way it kind of unpacks itself. So,
then you got to remember that like they're 17 years old.
Of course.
How much time do they really want to spend their parents?
Right.
So for them to be like, I want to go on a date, or I want to go see Titanic, which is an undertaking. So Randall, kudos to you. And kudos to Allison for seeing it 7 times, girl.
That's too
I
much.
I could not.
She's crazy.
That gives me anxiety.
But it's natural that they didn't want to be at home. But again, retrospectively, if you knew that that was the last day with your parents, you would have been there right up next to them.
But at that same token, we never know when the last day going to be. So it's also at that point where it's like, it kind of goes into the bittersweet part that Lena's talking about, is like, we don't ever know that. So like, how do we go through our lives and like really keep that in mind, but also not like stop living at the same time? And you know what I mean?
And I think something people don't realize is there's not an age on death. As we saw, Jack died, what they said, I think it was like the mid-40s or something like that, because they both, Kevin and Randall were talking about how they're both 40. He's like, don't worry, you have a few years. Is that we often think, oh, our parents are going to get older, but we could walk outside right now as we leave and get hit by a car, or God forbid, you know, there's little kids that get, you know, diagnosed with illnesses and die shortly after that. And there's sometimes there's no rhyme or reason. Mm-hmm. And you just, every day you have to wake up. And this is something I told myself several years back. Every day I wake up and I try to talk to at least, I'll definitely call my parents every day. Mm-hmm. But you know, to some people it might be a bit much.
I do too.
But I call my parents every day, and my siblings, we have like a group chat, and I will do my best. For sure. Especially if you get in fights or hold grudges, to just not let those little things get there, because you really don't know. Right.
And I think that is necessary, because even with them, like, you get to see like the like explicit weight of death, right?
Of course.
Even from, you know, I felt so annoyed with Kate when she was first dealing with audio, and that, you know, it's difficult to kind of weigh how death is going to affect someone else. And so for me, like, not having those type of experiences, I'm just like, okay, girl, like, you can't have a dog, like, just so annoyed. But then you have to think about the impact of it, and, you know, how having to deal with that.
And we don't know, like, we saw a little bit of how everything starts, but we don't know the true impact of, like, what, like, we don't know how it ends. Right. We know that there's a fire, and that's all that we know. But yeah, is there any way that we can get the live chat so we can chat with some of our viewers? Because I know that this was like
a crazy episode.
I know that you guys have your phone, so we're going to try and get
it. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
By the way, everybody at home, we love you guys, because this is like the liveliest chat ever.
Oh, yeah.
And just to clarify real quick, because someone was saying, or a couple people were mentioning, I'm not saying that it's bittersweet in the sense that I didn't want to know if Jack died or not. I want to know. I think it's about time that they told us. It's just one of those things that I feel like it's going to open, like, the floodgates. Like, we've been waiting for this moment, and it's kind of like putting yourself in the unknown. It's like a bowl of emotions are about to open up, finding out how he actually dies, what actually led to it. So it doesn't mean that I didn't want to know. It just means that it's so bittersweet that now that it's happening, I'm like, my anxiety's kicking in.
And over the last two seasons, we've grown to love him so much more.
We really do.
As everything, and seeing all of his downfalls and his triumphs and everything else. But what really got me too was the connection between Jack and Kevin with this. And it was so beautiful with the way that he was working on the entertainment system before Super Bowl. And he says, you wrote down the line, didn't you?
I didn't write down the whole thing, but it's...
Reach for a drink,
he picks up a hammer.
And then you see, basically, Kevin even doesn't have to say it. It's just a beautiful shot of him, like, getting that sledgehammer and just having to go to work. And the fact that that moment with his father has stuck with him so much. And him even saying that, too.
And I think he understands it on a different level now.
Yeah.
Because he himself has to keep busy, like you're saying. Mm-hmm. Like, he has to pick up that sledgehammer, because if he doesn't, he might fall back into old patterns.
Well, that whole conversation with the two of them in the room was one of my favorites.
First of all, why are they sitting on the person's bed? That's the first thing I thought is, what kind of landlord sits on their tenant's bed?
Realize they have roaches. Like, that was a whole other thing for me. I was like, y'all don't know what's in that bed. Like, get up.
But I think what's interesting is, especially in that scene, is seeing that it wasn't just Kevin about his addiction and that being his outlet, kind of like his father. When, you know, he's putting the TV stand together, Jack says, he goes, I need to have my hands on something so I don't put my hands on a drink. So you have Kevin, who's also an addict, needing to engage in something to get his mind off stuff. And then you have Randall, which I love because he said, it's in my blood. Mm-hmm. And it shows you, like, the nurture versus nature, that they're both, at the end of the day, brothers. And that is their bond. And blood actually does not separate them. And, you know, Randall doesn't have an addiction problem, but he has really bad anxiety. And I feel like this is the first thing that's kind of given him a calling since his father's death.
Yeah, and I think, too, whenever... you know, Kevin said that beautiful moment about, like, me having to, you know, go through my list of doing all of my amends. And he said, he didn't even say directly outright about his dad, but he was like, yeah, and some amends I can't do.
Yeah.
And when he flipped over that paper at the end of the episode, I lost it. Of his name, just Dad on the back.
Mm-hmm. And especially because it came after he got the necklace back.
Exactly.
And it was that moment of being able to...
You know, right? You know what also was for me too? I don't know if you guys agree. They gave us too much at the end. Like, I feel like it's, how you said, it's kind of slow paced on other episodes, which is fine because I like character development. I like to get to know them on a different level. But then it was like, boom, Kate looks past the dog thing, gets a dog, which, by the way, I loved. And then Kevin talks to Sophie, and then Kevin gets the necklace back, and then boom, the fire happens. And I'm like, whoa. You didn't give me time to process all that.
I think it was the way that they did that, though, was such a cool story element, because we open up with this old couple, and I'm thinking, like, how are they involved? Right. Are they, like, the house that he's getting ready to flip? Is it, like, a house that they're in, that they find something about? We don't know.
Yeah.
And then when he brings over the crock pot when she's pregnant, and to see them build the life, and I think that's why that song's going to have such an emotional toll on me from now on, is because it's playing during this montage of, like, you're building your life. And you're building your home together, like, even down to, the little notches of them growing up. And then the curtains, they show when they got the curtains, and then them going up in flames. And then you see the bracelet that he gives her was wrapped in that towel. And that's
the first thing caught fire.
And then the crock pot. And just seeing it all, so, like, it gives me chills, like, of them laying it out. And you realize, like... We put so much value into these, like, these sentimental, like, pieces and objects, but it really is what she was saying. We can buy new stuff. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. We can buy new stuff. She said it the whole time, but at the same time, you can't, because those are the things that build those memories, that build that life. Mm-hmm.
They did an incredible job.
God, that it was such a beautiful montage.
Where every single thing that caught on fire, from, like, the measuring thing to everything.
To
that note.
I was like,
that he wrote.
Exactly.
Yeah, oh, God.
That. Somebody in the chat was saying, when that note caught fire, it's when that was the moment.
And his father didn't hear that he was apologetic. He called his mom to say, hey, I'm sorry. And the mom said, come home. Talk to your dad. Watch the end of the game. And it's... I cannot tell you how much I love this show and the fact that their message is like...
Yeah. And I think that's why the weight of him, you know, trying to... Or feeling that he needed to make this amends with his father was so great, because in that last moment, he didn't get to, you know, have any of that. So I feel that, you know, it was kind of slow paced. It was jam-packed in the end, like I said, which is something that they normally do. I don't know if it was too much. I know we are, like, getting, like, super prepared now for, like... the big unveiling. Yeah. Like, we have to sit with that. But they did bring the story of it together so well, because even with the older couple in the beginning and then by the end, I was like, oh, they're the ones going to check out the house. But then it was like, no, we're going back to the past when she's pregnant. And then this whole experience.
I thought it had just so much depth. I think that's why I love the episode so much. And I think that's now clicking why I really enjoyed it, was that I really do love, like, cinema and television, and when the writing has so much, like, oomph to it, I just think that that's true art. And I think that it doesn't have to be overloaded with everything. Yeah. It can be simple and simplistic, but have so much meaning to everything. And at the end of the episode is when it all came together, I think. Sure. And it all clicked.
This is definitely an episode, like, I have to watch again.
Yeah. Yeah. With all the details.
Like, just watch everything all over again, kind of, like, absorb it. That's what I think got me so hard, is just everything at the end and the little moments. And just, I remember the note, but then one of you guys said it again, I was like, oh my God, that's right. He put a note on the door
and it caught
to his son saying, I love you. And not only did Kevin never see that, but Kevin never got to apologize to his dad. Exactly. And it's just...
And especially for Kevin's behavior, because I had wrote down when he said, you know, what did he say? I can't read my handwriting. like, he's not supposed to watch the Super Bowl like you guys. And then, oh, Kevin's, like, the worst again. So we got to see.
And what was that, though? Yeah. The worst again. When was he the worst?
I think that he's always carried. He's tried to tell us this
and
whole time.
And he, even during, if we remember the episode when they were having the meeting with the therapist, he even brought it up then. So even though none of them feel that way, never say that you're the worst, this has been something he is... put in his brain as a child, and we've seen it grow with him, that he's always felt like he's the worst.
Yeah.
So him saying that underlying message, Like, he just served it to his parents on a plate and no one listened to him.
Yeah. And then on to have to sit with that and to know what my dad's last thoughts were about, you know, that experience.
Which totally explains, by the way, why adult Kevin has been the way he is. But I have to give him props that this guy has had the most character development out of any character on the show. I thought it was Kate at first in terms of, like, growth and evolution. Like, Randall's always just been such a great husband, great human being, great father. And he's had tons of growth and, like, learning about himself. And I'm talking about the most drastic change, I thought for sure, was Kate. But now looking full circle, it's definitely Kevin, especially
the past few episodes. Yes. Like, he's made, I feel, leaps and bounds. And maybe 100%. It's because he's had the opportunity to look himself in the mirror and really identify what his issues are.
Yeah, they've been confronted.
That he's now able to step forward in his life.
And most people won't do that in a lifetime, by the way.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, if you talked to me a couple months ago when I watched the first season, I hated that character. Mm-hmm. Could not stand him. I thought he was the most vain, like, basic character where there was no depth to him. Right. But now as I look, like you said, in hindsight from now to there, I'm like, it all makes sense. And there was a reasoning why I wasn't supposed to like him and why he was the way he was. So it's like, now I feel like I need to rewatch all of the season to be like,
because you might understand things differently a little bit now.
And catch different things, because the writers have done such a great job that they've put little gems in everywhere that we're now just like, which I'll talk about in a second, because there's
especially what he's gone through in his life. For example, he sees that Sophie's going to NYU. He had an opportunity to, what he said, make it to the NFL, and be at the Super Bowl, which obviously what he said to his father and his mom in a very catty, like, I don't want to be like you people watching it. You know, he had his moments, but it's like he could have spent the rest of his entire life being an addict and victimizing himself. Poor me, I could have gone to the Super Bowl. Poor me, I could have been this. Poor me, I mean, he ends up being a famous celebrity, but he could have been like, poor me, if I didn't have the addiction, I would have gone farther and I would have done films and this. And he chose one day to just wake up and say, I have a problem. I need to fix this. And he did. And I think that's...
And by that point, he didn't have much of a choice.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking too. To face it.
I know, but someone else said in where they were talking about him, it makes sense with this speech on the football field. Mm-hmm. And someone says, I feel like Kevin's been stunted at 17 forever. Mm-hmm. But he's still kind of a brat.
Yeah. Sure.
More teen siblings scenes together. I feel like we're not going to see the last of the teens, I think, even after we find out how Jack dies. Because I think we're going to see them develop as teenagers after, without their dad now.
Yeah, like the first day of college.
Yeah, all that.
Graduating from college or graduating to whatever next level that Kevin reached, and then whatever Kate does. Because
she gains weight. Remember, she said she gains her weight after her father
dies. Did she go to college?
That's what I'm wondering.
Because remember, she went to work at that diner, and that's when she met her first love, and would drive by that house every single day and would eat fast food in front of the house.
That's probably when she started to gain her weight.
But I mean, it even goes back to like what Rebecca was saying whenever it was when Randall had Tess, where she said every day and every moment is always going to be a sad experience for me because I never get to experience it with your father every first. So it's almost like now we get to see, like, once all this, as much as it's like we've wanted to find out how Jack dies, I think it's going to be the next step once we do figure out, like, how everything went down, of like seeing how they do deal with that, without him and with that. Like,
you know what's amazing, if for anybody at home that was watching the SAG Awards, is how Jack has kind of always been like the unity with the cast and with everybody. Like, even as simple as the scene where he's videotaping Kate.
Oh,
and the way he looks at her, like, so endearingly, the way he's a father, the way he loves his wife. Like, they're talking about their kids going to college. They're 18, but they kiss each other as if it's been, you know,
a day.
Like, they just started dating. And it's just, I feel like in every respect, and he's not perfect, and everyone's going to say that we've always loved Jack the most. He's definitely not perfect, but in every respect, he's just such a passionate individual. And I love the fact that when they accepted the award for best cast at the SAG Awards, best ensemble, but ultimately, because I had to Google that. I was like, what does that mean?
New spoiler alert.
Which means,
right.
Oh, sorry, spoiler alert if you didn't watch it. But I saw that everywhere. But I love even the way he was talking during the speech. I felt like Jack was talking to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Did you guys watch it?
No, I haven't yet, so don't tell me.
Never let up.
I am watching it tonight when
I
get home.
If you watch it, I promise you're going to come back to me and say, you're right, I felt Jack vibes.
Okay. I think, and kudos to him, and kudos to all the actors, and congratulations to all them, and we'll cover that a little bit later on in news. But I think the fact that you said that is such a testament to him being such a great actor, is that he gave so much of himself. Mm-hmm. Even though he is Jack in the show, and you're still separating them as Milo and Jack, but to give so much of yourself and to be so vulnerable and to be so open to a character like that, to where us as an audience, like, feels you and gets it and really, like, connects with you and has a relationship, like...
And yeah. By the way, we were talking about this earlier, that some of the younger cast members... Mm. So I think it is the younger, because we're going to see a lot more of the teens. Mm-hmm. So you were right about that. Was it you that said it, or Keith? That it was the younger kids? So some of the younger kids weren't invited to the SAG Awards, so the adult cast members bought them as their plus ones.
Mm-hmm. So you just gonna give all the news?
You gonna give all the news?
No, honestly, that wasn't on the list.
No, no, no. I didn't put that in there.
Not on the list.
That was actually
we talked. I asked her if it was on the news list.
Thank you to one of our viewers, Brittany, who she tweeted us about it.
That's awesome. Oh,
nice. Yeah. Thank you, Brittany.
So thank you, Brittany.
I saw it on the Snapchat.
Yeah.
I asked her before we started filming if it was in there. She said no.
My bad.
But I'm saying it explains, like, their relationship, that they really are like this in real life.
Yeah, you have it. So it shows how deserving they are to be best ensemble, because that can be said for, like, each of the characters, and as you see them kind of maneuver on social media or in the world. So I think that's really cool.
And even going back to what you guys were saying about seeing Jack recording Kate, him looking so proud.
He was so,
in that reflection in the mirror.
Especially with the playback, too.
Watching, and that's what I'm talking about more specifically, when Kate was watching it back and she sees, she's like, oh, I finally get how my dad sees me.
His smiling.
That's why he tells me that I'm so beautiful.
And when she
I see it in his face.
Don't ever stop trying to get, or paraphrasing, don't ever stop trying to get me to see me the way you see me.
Yeah.
I'm just like, wow.
Because she finally got it.
Yeah, because she can see. Literally. The way that he sees her.
You're getting emotional. Because it's easier, getting me emotional.
Because going off of what she was saying last episode, it's easier for her to beat herself down. Mm-hmm. Like, she'll try on a size too small because it's easier for her to have that voice in her head. Because, and especially now, because Jack's not there to combat that voice.
Right.
You guys, it's so sad, though, because her mom also looks at her that way. Like, even in the scene when she was so excited about going dress shopping.
But we
she
always,
only sees it,
like, side with,
from,
like,
Jack's perspective.
Yeah.
They have an amazing mom. Rebecca's an amazing mother.
And you know what? Even more when you go into that, it's like we saw both of those kids got to have closure with their dad that night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he left for Titanic, but he came back and was like, Dad, I got to kiss her, and were you a gentleman?
Yeah.
And, like, they had that moment.
That's good.
And then she had her moment saying, don't stop trying.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Yeah.
Evan did not get one. She did not get one. I did want to talk a little bit about, so for the episode, I feel like we got to see a lot of celebrity appearances as well. What did you guys think of that?
Well, last week I gave a shout out to Don Lewis and Garrett Morris. And when you saw Don tonight, you got excited. So I was like, finally, somebody who understands my excitement.
I get it.
Well, because you know, anyone that gets an offer to be an extra, or, like, sorry, not an extra, but a guest star on This Is Us is like, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's a big deal.
I wonder what made them bring Lena Waithe though.
I love her, by the way.
I like her too, but I didn't feel like it was super necessary.
I think she just kind of wanted to be on.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, good for her.
I think it's because they just premiered The Chi, which is because I just interviewed her on the red carpet for the premiere of The Chi. Mm-hmm. She's the executive producer. By the way, I heard that's also amazing, which has nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
But that would kind of make sense.
They have after show that will be Sundays.
Here. Yes. So,
Yes,
I think it's literally exact timing. It's when it premieres is now. So makes that's sense. Why she's in it.
Dawn fan forever shouts out Jaleesa.
Yeah, she's definitely a fan because, you know, even what she's doing with The Chi, she wants to make a difference. She wants to show a different side of, like, Chicago and stuff, so I can see where she would love to be a part of a show like this. She's very, like, in tune with herself. She's a great person.
Nice.
Oh, she was so good. Oh, I loved that moment when they saw all the puppies.
Yeah. Oh, she's a friend of one of the writers?
Is she?
That's pretty awesome.
Okay.
Can I be a friend of one of the writers? I want to be I want to be the girl at the store or something.
Oh, speaking of writers, we have to give a shout out to Kay again, who hasn't been in the chat for a few weeks or months even. But
Kay,
she
come
was
back.
The writer on the episode tonight.
I do know that there's a lot of tight-lippedness around this show right now. Because they are not wanting anyone to release any spoilers right now. And especially at this moment, I think it
makes sense. Because it's like a pinnacle moment. You, I wouldn't let somebody out of this room.
No.
After watching this episode. No. Saying something.
By the way, Chelsea D, I know she said it a couple minutes ago, but I was waiting till we got to what we were just saying. She said that on an interview, Milo has said that the way he dies, no one has guessed yet. So it's not going to be, because I know some people were saying that it'd be so cheesy if he died because of the dog. I really don't think it's going to be what they're giving us. I think they're trying to tell us it's about the dog, but I agree with Chelsea that if that's what was said, that it's not going to be about the dog.
Mm.
She was saying in an interview that he actually said it's he doesn't die the way any of these other people have like assumed. Because everyone's always said it's about the dog, it's about the addiction, kind of the stuff that we talked about.
Also, they randomly introduced a character only two episodes ago. And normally when they introduce people that are, like, significant, there's a purpose.
Yeah.
Who did they introduce? Who am I thinking of?
Right.
Randall's girlfriend.
Oh, Allison.
Mm-hmm. By the way, she agrees. She's like, I thought I was ready. She? Come on, Katie. I thought I was ready for this episode. Hashtag no. Nope. That's how I feel.
Come on, Katie.
Were you
just
ready?
Saying, come on.
If we okay. Wanna let... Kay's here.
Kay!
Titanic fan for life. Kay, we love you.
Were you guys, honestly, I want to get a yes or no ready for this episode? Honestly.
I was not mentally prepared for it.
I don't.
Because I knew we were on episode 13, so I was like waiting until like 15, 16, 17, 18 to start like, I did not expect it to come up this quick.
We said it right before it started. We said we have five more episodes before they're going to tell us anything.
Yeah.
I was ready because like I said last week, I'm just going with the flow.
You're always right.
Can I be on your page?
I will say.
I feel like I've been lied to this whole time.
I read a couple of articles leading up, and obviously no one knows any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. No one does. So, like, take this with a grain of salt.
It's all speculation.
Any of these articles that you guys are reading, no one knows. Like, they're literally, like, keeping this under lock and key. But they were talking about, like, little Easter eggs that you notice is that... they really do think that Kate is the reason why.
Yeah.
And she, so we don't know what that is, but we know that she is the reason.
I think she's associated with it, but I don't think it's.
She says that she is.
She says that she was the reason that he died. There's like so many little different Easter eggs that are in there. And then also, if we look back a couple episodes before, like obviously now that we've watched the show, I was kind of prepared going into the show that it was going to start showing up. Mm-hmm. And this was the day. Because number one, last week's preview, he said this is the last Super Bowl with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they cut it off. So I'm like, okay. Well, that's one thing. But on top of it, if you guys remember when she drove up in front of the house and we saw it burnt down, she was wearing the shirt that she was wearing in this episode.
Yeah.
But they've always done, like, these random flashbacks. Like, how many times did they show the fire alarm and...
They've like, shown the fire alarm the NFL last scene. Episode.
Yeah. And I guess
that was the first time.
I get that's when they were doing... But I'm saying, like, when they were... When she was lighting stuff and saying that it wasn't working. Remember when they were doing the vantage point when it was, like... The big three episodes.
The 1, 2, 3.
The 1, 2, 3. And there was like four episodes where they literally showed the same scene. So I'm not thinking when I see the show or anything, but I love how everyone says the same thing. Well, not everyone, but most people are saying like they once it started happening, they were not ready for it. We got to watch this once we get home.
Yeah, I'm going to rewatch this because I feel like there's so much more in there that there's like underlying messages that we're missing out.
Why, is too much?
Like, no.
I'm just not a rewatcher like that.
What if you missed like a key point?
He's just like, oh well.
Y'all gotta tell
He's
me.
He's like, I'm done.
Gotta, like, do I really need to? I just don't like to like immediately like come back. Okay,
you gotta
I'll be
watch it without Candace crying. She distracts you.
You're right.
I see you looking at her. I swear, I see Keith.
Y'all, at her. They make so much fun of me that I cry.
I will tell you something though. Something I've noticed that Keith does, and he can. Agree to disagree. Whenever you get emotional, I feel like it might trigger something. So he starts looking at his phone. And then he like looks up and then he looks
she
at his phone.
Says that.
And you're not that interested in your phone. I know you're not because you're so in tune when we're in the after show with what's going on.
Yeah.
I think you look down at your phone because you don't want to see her crying because you don't want to start crying. That's what I think.
Ha 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 ha. Someone said, are we going to talk about the MVP Beth? Oh, thanks, Aaliyah. She understands.
Aaliyah does understand.
By the way, guys, I am the crier on the show, not Lena. She is getting all this flack about being the crier.
So it's there it's you go, actually it's other up. Hosts on AfterBuzz that go, oh, you're the one that always cries on This Is Us. I'm
That's
like, no.
I don't care being known as that. I am fine.
No, I definitely got tear-jerked a little bit, but I think the second my anxiety kicked in about, oh, no, what's happening, I was on, like, fight or flight mode. I
no, right? Get me out.
Yeah, I think
See,
we need to do something
Thank
to
you. Brittany understands.
Week.
Oh, for sure we're crying all of next episode.
Oh, I'm bringing tissues, and I might bring a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Why just a glass?
Like, I mean, I might bring a whole bottle. I might need the whole bottle. Plus, guys, it is. Oh, what about the old couple that are back? Rebecca left the message voicemail too.
I think that was that was a setup to make it look like.
I thought that too. Yeah. I was like, why are they knocking on the door? Why is it?
Oh my god! What if they move into the house that she circled that they were going to renovate? Because the house
that's because
they need
typical.
A house.
No, I would think
they're going
to
need
too.
A house when the
they're
going to
need a house.
And especially
gone.
Because she's already shared that information or that moment with Jack. I would think.
Yeah,
like,
I would
okay,
think that would be like the place that I would go to.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to talk about Beth.
Yes, love Beth.
She's just literally the most amazing, understanding, patient woman.
Agreed.
I've ever met. It was the exact thought I had. Is she didn't even he didn't well not she Randall didn't even let her finish her sentence when she's talking in front of what's their tenants, kind of undermining her and being like, no, yes, we will do that. Yes, we will do this. And she just didn't say anything. She didn't say you deserve it. She just goes, uh-huh. And she waited. She patiently waited. She knew her case was going to be proven. It got proven a lot quicker than probably what she thought. But she's still so understanding, and I love that about her. I just think that to be understanding and to communicate, just curious.
To deal with, I love me some Randall. Not throwing shade, so no one get pissed at me for saying this. But I couldn't handle him if he was like that. Like I know he's excited. I get it. And I understand that they have the best relationship, so she understands. But if someone is doing that and take it, oh.
Especially when you have the experience. Like, that's what she had to remind him of at the end of the episode. Exactly. She was like, you forget who I am. I do this for a living.
In a very nice way, too.
And you're going to dismiss me? Okay. When you call me,
good word.
I'm going to say, I told you so. Yeah. Without having to say, I told you so. Because I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, is there a problem in Rome, moment? Caesar, she said?
And she did it in such a tasteful way, too. Mm-hmm. She wasn't very like, you don't know, and I've been doing this, and I've been and we wasted money. No, she was just like, I got you excited.
That is a huge lesson.
What did you
lesson.
Call it? R&B, she said slow
smooth R&B.
Smooth R&B. Yeah.
Which I didn't even put together. I was like, oh yeah, Randall and Beth.
I just got that right
that's
now.
Cute. I got it because I chuckled. But I think that, you know.
I just got that.
No, oh, that's true. Chelsea, that's a good one. I'm surprised Randall didn't have the fire escapes as a first priority.
But Beth did. Whoa. She said
Beth
number
did.
One.
Yeah, but you
oh,
see what he's,
good point.
What she's pointing out.
Right. They had said that earlier.
I mean, that's, yeah.
But it was Beth who mentioned it.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
But you know what I really like about this episode is even with it being around, like, setting up, like, this big reveal, we do get to see the ensemble act in a way that really keeps it afloat. We got Beth and Randall with their shenanigans and, you know, good times. And then we got Toby and Kate with the puppy.
You mean just Randall and his
shenanigans? Thinking that it was porn and figuring that out. And then we even got to see Kevin and Sophie. I wasn't looking forward to seeing
it. Before we get there, though, hold on. Before we get there,
though. Let's talk about the dog.
I love the fact that Toby looks at puppies like people watch porn. Right? Like, that to me.
It's not puppy porn either, he says.
Right?
But with Toby, you believe it. Like, it's not like, if he had been caught watching porn, okay, maybe you could. But him looking at puppies, you're like, yeah, that's a Toby thing.
You guys.
But it was so sad.
And it had, like, sad ears. And it doesn't have, like, a little bit of, like, a.
So
you guys, that dog is so cute.
It was cute.
Him looking up at her, just like, oh.
You guys, when she walked out and she was apologizing to that dog, that was the scene more than anything that got me. She was like, I'm so sorry. It's not your fault. It's baggage from that has nothing to do with you. And all I kept thinking is, please take the dog, because people don't realize that shelters, like, dogs get euthanized after a certain amount of days. I'm like, please go get the dog. Mm-hmm. Please go get the dog. So in the scene when she walks in, she goes, by the way, why was the dog not, like, running in?
Why
did we hear the dog or something?
He's a good dog.
Because he's good. Yeah, he's
a
obedient.
Good puppy.
Yeah. You would have thought when they opened that cage or the door of the cage, he would have just took off.
No.
But he was meant for Kate.
And the fact that his name is Audio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. I caught that too.
I love that. It was meant to be. And I'm so glad that she saw that. That was lovely.
Mm-hmm.
What was the, we were, I completely lost my train of thought. What was the point that we need? Sophie.
Oh, we were going into,
we need
Kevin
to talk
and
about
Sophie.
That.
Now, Taylor in the chat says that they miss Sophie.
Right.
Which, that goes against a lot of opinions.
From the past.
In previous chats. Yeah.
I think she's bad for him. I think that.
What?
Oh, I do. No, I do.
He's bad.
He's bad for her.
I'm not meaning it. I don't mean that she as a human being is bad for him. I'm meaning that, like, the relationship and the toxicity of the relationship, like, it's going to bring him back down.
But it's him. I don't think
it's 100% him. It has nothing to do with her, but she's still not good for him because that's a memory of constant past.
Yeah, but when I look at it, I don't see it from his perspective. I see it as he's not good for her. Just like he went to her and she had to just be like, goodbye.
I'm done.
As much as it hurts.
Well, good for her, though.
Yeah, I was glad to that because I didn't want to see anything drawn out.
I don't think this is the last of her, to be honest. Really? I do not. I think that he got her when he said, you are the name. And even when she was cutting him off, you could tell there's a part of her that didn't want to cut him off. And I understand there's a history, but I do not think this is the last of her. And I've said this before. Everybody disagreed. I don't think this is the last of her.
Okay, there's a lot. So... Who just said that Kevin is Sophie's drug?
Candace.
Because even in this episode, Sophie admitted, like, I'm a nurse. I should have caught that something was wrong with you. Yeah. And for her to say that she's never loved another man like she loves Kevin, that's serious. Because she's at least been that we know of in one other relationship.
That's why
What does that have to say for her future relationship? She's never going to achieve that same love?
But they,
that's rough.
It's different. But they grew up together. They went through a lot together.
It's a different, like, it's one type of love. I think there's multiple, like, when we all encounter whoever our significant other is. But, like, they grew up together. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, this person
like 10 years old.
This person has been, like, your person all the way up. And that's why I'm saying that she's not good for him, or if you want to flip it, he's not good for her. Either way, like, they've had so much trauma that has happened in their life. And now we realize how much trauma is actually carried over with Kevin. Mm-hmm. Like, that person, just like the dog is for Kate, is association with what has happened. Mm-hmm. Regardless of if you can just, like, you can realize it. So, the longer Sophie stays in his life, that moment in his life will never, ever, ever go away.
Well,
does that make sense?
But I don't even.
He was with her
to Sophie, though.
But he was with her when he died.
It makes sense, but I think that the moment is never going to go away because it'll always
be
there.
Yeah,
but I don't feel that he's that attached to Sophie. I was okay with them, you know, bringing her in as far as, you know, making amends and that sort of thing. I do also feel that everybody has that person or that love that you're always going to compare it to. There's somebody they come through right now, you know what I mean? You have to deal with, do I want to run out there or am I going to be over it?
Talk about it.
I think with Sophie, there's a sense of familiarity where he doesn't have to talk about his father or explain it to somebody new. I feel like a lot of his character and who he is, he maybe feels like in a new relationship he'll have to explain about his dad, and he doesn't, as we've seen, doesn't really like to talk about his dad until this whole breakdown. So I feel like with Sophie, it's not just that I'm not saying he doesn't love her. I do think that they have something special. They grew up together. I think he feels comfortable, kind of like how Beth knows everything about the father. And you even see with Toby sometimes is like, man, Kate doesn't tell me everything about her father. It's like a guessing game and there's things off topic. With Kevin, I think 100% it's less that she's his drug and more that she just knows everything and he doesn't feel like he has to explain himself to her.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a great thing and also a bad thing.
I'm just glad that she was in here for it and she said goodbye. Mm-hmm. I'm glad he got his necklace.
I thought that was a really good breakup, to be honest. Yeah. It was fair. Beautifully done and it was real and it wasn't like we got to break up and like it wasn't dramatic. Like breakups don't always have to be dramatic. Sometimes they are just... I'm done. This is it.
And going off of what Lena's saying, I think if Sophie does stick around, as difficult as it might be, they might be together in like a friend capacity. Kevin can have that person that he can talk to.
I don't think that they'll be romantic.
He can seem to talk to Sophie about any and everything. So I think if she does stick around, which somebody mentioned in the chat that she is a series regular. That so this isn't the end of her.
Okay, wait, what is this? It's a young relationship with Allison and it's Randall's senior year. That's a whole lot to be stacked against him with you. Okay, well, yeah. Oh, Kate, I love that you're in here chatting with everybody. It makes me so happy.
I know.
And another thing, too, is that if you remember their breakups, it was because he didn't show up to the charity. Well, he was at the charity thing, but didn't show up at the auction. And then he just one day told her, it's over and I have problems. So now that she understands what he's gone through in therapy, just being a girl and knowing that she just, as you said, finished saying that she's never loved somebody like she's loved him, I feel like she will make the excuse in her head. And I know that's not what you want, Keith. I know that's not what Aaliyah wants. I know
we all have our opinions.
To me, I don't necessarily want it either.
No, I'm saying Aaliyah. Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying just understanding that she just finished saying, I will never, and I've never loved somebody as much as I love you.
She's
and her understanding that he just went through therapy and that he had a real problem and he's actually making amends with it and dealing with it. And the, you are not a name on the list, you are the name.
I mean, and kudos to him for not going back and grabbing a drink after that, because that's one heck of a...
Who says he did?
He grabbed that necklace. Because
that's when he got the necklace.
Yeah. And I don't think that he did... Well, I don't think that he would have, only because with his intention it was to make amends. Yeah. I don't think he went expecting to jump back and be in a relationship, because I still think he feels the way he does feel about their situation. But I think it's just unfortunate. I think as human, like, part of our experience, it is when we have this connection with somebody to, like, fall on that. So she will probably, you know, put him first and kind of be this person, knowing that, you know, I still can't be with you or whatever the future I wanted. I don't have that ability because you're no good for me. Mm-hmm.
There's one other thing I want to mention before we hop into news, because I know that we're wrapping it up. But the moment with Randall and Kevin on the bed when they're talking, and we really talk about the time and the age and everything of him saying he's been gone longer than the amount of time that we had him. And that just struck me so hard. And this, like, idea that they can't see past a certain age because his dad never got past
that
age.
I thought that was so crazy.
It was just so, like, wow. I don't know what more to say about it. It was just, like, one of my favorite moments of the show, to be honest.
Yeah, because it was such a bold moment amongst men. And that's something that, you know, they were super vulnerable in that capacity. Two men together, like, on a bed. You get to see them be brothers, but you get to see kind of, like, a man's perspective and on life and the impact that, you know, having your father in your life and not having him in your life and dealing with that has on you. Even when Kevin gave the nod to him, like, oh, you'll be like your other dad. I'm just like, aw.
And I feel like that's the first time they actually really bonded. Especially given the fact that he just got a DUI, potentially could have killed his daughter in the backseat of the car.
Yeah,
I feel like that was the first real moment.
I felt it showed the impact that they're brothers and they have this bond no matter what's going on.
Because even whenever, if we flash back and we saw the three different episodes, whenever they had their moment and it was just the two of them, I think that that's when the bond happened. And I honestly think this is just a small prediction. I think that their bond gets super strong after Jack dies. I think that they get super, super close. Because even in the texting, when they were texting back and forth, the little, like, isms, I still think they've always been close. I think just life of getting married and having kids, like, things gravitate.
I always love Randall's face when someone yells, "The Manny!" His face is like, like, oh, God.
Especially Beth.
Beth is like, oh, the Manny show again? I'm like, Beth, don't forget, he was the one talking to you on the phone.
This is true.
He was, like, in his ear, right? Like, telling him, was it on the phone? Where were they?
I think they were on the phone.
Yeah, they were on the phone. It's like, you fell in love with Kevin, don't forget. The Manny.
Well, guys, as much as I could keep going on and on about this episode, we do want to hop into some news.
Yes.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Steve, this is kind of a last-minute request, but could we get some applause, please, if possible? Because we're going to talk about... I was going to say, we're going to talk about... There we go. Thank you. So, huge congratulations. Last week, we didn't cover it, but Sterling K. Brown won the Golden Globe for Best Actor in a Dramatic Television Series.
No,
so
that was
last
week.
First African-American man to do so.
Past Sunday... This past Sunday, Sterling won again at the SAG Awards for Outstanding Performance by a Male Actor in a Drama Series, as well as...
First, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you, but first African-American to win the SAG
It's just sad that we have to keep doing that, but all right. And also at the SAG Awards, as we mentioned before, the cast won for Best TV Ensemble in a Drama Series.
Yay, I'm going to do Nicole Kidman
clap. I love that picture. I love that picture.
Because she doesn't want to mess up her nails and her jewelry.
That you're seeing
she
now.
She can scratch the rings
of all of them. And if you had seen the... behind the scenes, I think Sterling wasn't there when they actually won, and he's walking in and he's standing off to the side and he is just crying because he's just so happy to be with all of them.
I wish we had a clip of Sterling's speech, but if you guys get a chance, go look at it. The moment that got me, and I was literally laying in my bed scrolling and just started crying, doesn't surprise anybody. I know. I'm catching you guys before you say anything. But he did say at the end, he was like, just for any of those that are, like, working really, really hard and fighting for the dream, don't give up.
Yeah.
And it was just so, and I loved it because it's SAG, so it's all these people that are, like, fighting for.
I'm waiting for the tears.
I was wondering why you were staring at me. Like, I was like, what is she doing?
I was like, any second, how cute.
But like all those people that are fighting, that have come out here or in New York or wherever they're at, trying to fight for a dream, that it is possible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even Chrissy did a clip behind the scenes where she has the award. She was like, SAG, 2 years ago, I couldn't even pay my dues and now I got one.
Yeah.
And I was just like, God, that is like so true that your life can change in an instant.
You guys,
and
sometimes when you're at God, that's almost like, nothing.
She had that like when it 46 comes, right? Cents yeah. to her name. So I feel you, girl.
Did you guys?
I'm hoping I get my SAG award in 2 years.
Did you guys see when the award was being presented? One of the introducers was like, if he's black because I'm black, I'm going to say his name. And you see Randall's face. I'm like, just say it because you know it's going to be him. And she's like, ah! But you know in their face, because when she said that, it took an extra like 10 seconds. Everyone's like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just say it.
Now I got to go watch it.
But was there any question? Race aside, he is the best perfect. Actor.
He's so good.
He makes me cry on cue.
He's amazing. And to fanboy for just a second, because I wasn't here the past 2 weeks, but y'all know I love Sterling K. Brown.
Yeah. We touched on it a little bit.
Growing up, going to school, I really like modeled myself and what I would want my career to be after him. And like, that's the reason why I'm on this panel now.
I'm so glad you were here to be able to say it, because I didn't do it justice. Yeah. I read a little bit from your Instagram.
Okay, nice.
But I even love his speech that he gave at the Golden Globes, where he was talking about like, instead of just like dissolving color in the casting room, colorless casting or whatever the proper term that he used. But he was like, you wrote a role for a black man that only a black man could play, and you were playing it and giving it justice.
Indeed.
Like, I think that goes without saying that should be the ideal for every race, not just African American, not just Hispanic, every race, because there's such a wide rainbow of people that are very underrepresented, and it's not because of lack of talent, it's because of lack of opportunity.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Can we also talk about how much Sterling, not Randall, Sterling loves his wife?
He
thanked her in every speech.
No, because
every single red carpet, it's the first thing he does
at first.
In one speech, he got cut off.
That's why every time now he does it first. Because he said he has PTSD from seeing the clock. So he's just like, let me get it out.
So when he was doing the back interviews, what is that called? Where you do the questions?
Like the press.
The press? Yeah. Mm. He was like, you cut me off at my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she just, the way she kisses him, I'm like, I'm getting like Beth and Randall vibes.
Yeah.
No wonder this guy can play that role so well.
It's because just easy.
He loves his wife like that.
Amazing.
Well, we also have one other image that we wanted to throw up here.
Yeah, so great minds think alike, apparently, because
all our ladies.
All the Pearsons decided to dress alike unintentionally. Mandy on her Instagram page said, oh, and this was not planned. The Pearson ladies all showed up in the same shade of blue by pure coincidence. She said she loves her gorgeous, fiercely talented wild sisters and couldn't have been more honored to have matched them last night.
Oh my God, that's beautiful.
So that's, and the fact that, and from what I understand, I think Susan, in a interview with Build, the Build series online, she was saying that's not the first time that it's happened. Where they've unintentionally all worn the same color.
The BBs, beauties
that's
in blue.
So crazy.
Yeah.
And it's the same exact shade of blue. There's like 95 shades
of
blue.
That's my shade of blue, just saying. That's University of Kentucky. Go Wildcats. That's our blue.
I totally, totally, totally thought that was intentional.
Nope.
Did you guys see Team Kevin when they announced that they won at the SAG Awards? Teen Kevin was so surprised. He's like, what?
Yeah, I think everybody was surprised because they were thinking The Handmaid's Tale was going to win or something.
No, my God, their bond, life is incredible. I didn't think there was any question there. Sterling, no question for me.
And then one last opportunity for the fans to actually be involved. This Is Us is nominated for a Shorty Award, which is an online award. So can go on shortyawards.com. And it's open from now until February 22nd at 11:59 p.m. So just click. You can vote once per day. Just click vote, and let's do it big for
Keep
This Is
winning.
Us.
Yes.
And guys, also, before we get, we have to end. We are trying to figure out our schedule for the next episode. We'll be off next week because there is no episode
Tuesday.
And it is, just for you guys that are watching, do not forget, for the love of God, do not forget, it will be on Sunday directly after the Super Bowl. As I said in the previews, record, like, give extra time for recording.
Which is crazy because this whole episode was about the Super Bowl.
They did that on purpose.
Yeah.
And it's also the reason why that we find out.
I'm just getting everything.
Well, they timed it out too because he dies on Super Bowl. So they're doing it after that. Plus, on top of it, Super Bowl is the number one watch live thing. So it's like
everything.
Everybody will be watching. So it's just kind of one of those things. So
2 hours extended. Exactly.
Oh my God.
12 days. February the 4th.
Yes. Oh, that feels like so long. We gotta figure that out.
It does.
It's far away.
2 hours extended. It's extended.
No. They're saying to record it.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And predictions? I don't even know, guys. I really don't. I think... I don't know.
I do know the few people in the chat were just saying they're hoping that it's just the teens in the next episode.
Well, I predict that Jack is going to die from the fire.
Well,
can we all agree?
Right.
Yeah.
Wonder if, do we know what time frame we're at in the adult episode?
What do you mean?
They're like what time right of now. Year? No.
Oh, time like of year. I don't know.
Because I'm wondering if they're going to end up.
You guys, Taylor's prediction, we're all going to sob.
Yes, very true.
Perfect.
Especially but Candace.
Yeah, guys, it's not happening. I'm just not going to wear makeup. The episode. You're I'm wondering they're if gonna, they're going to have it like
the anniversary this is my of prediction. His death.
Yes.
Okay.
I wonder if they're going to line it up to where like the adult episode will be Super Bowl Sunday, and then it's the same time, and so they're all reflecting because it's going to be like the 21st anniversary or something.
I think so. I think it will be.
I think that would be nice.
I think it will be Super Bowl.
So we'll see. That's my only prediction that I got.
Do you guys know real quick? So there's 6 episodes left of season 2.
No, there's 5 now.
5 now?
Because we just had 13, so it goes to 18.
Mm-hmm. And then for season 3, they don't wait a full year, right? This is not like Game of Thrones. You got to wait
season
a year and a half.
Season 3 should be coming on in the fall.
Next
probably fall.
Oh, yeah. So that's not that far away. I mean, it's kind of far, but...
We'll have the summer off.
Right.
Oh. Yeah,
I know. Meaning they're probably getting ready to start shooting season 3 very soon. If it's going to be debuting in the fall.
Because there's still so much to talk about. Jack dying is not the show being over. There's so much development. Yeah, I want to know what happened to the rest of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So before we wrap, I just wanted to give, since she's actually in the chat and she can hear us now, wanted to give a big shout out again to Kay, the writer... for this episode and a writer on This Is Us. Thank you for being in the chat.
Yeah,
I'm so happy to see you again.
She says nope. I think there's a delay in oh, there's a second delay. There we go. All right, perfect. I was like, wait a second. But she sent us an emoji. Thank you, Kay. We love you.
Yeah, brilliant,
and we love the show.
We love the show. But guys, as much as I don't want to end this conversation, we do have to end, unfortunately. But we will be back. In a week and a half.
Yes.
So be sure to follow all of us on social media and be sure to follow and subscribe to AfterBuzz because that way you will be able to know what is going on because we love talking to you guys and I know that I'm going to need all y'all's support next episode.
She needs
I need all the community.
She needs co-criers.
Oh, they don't start shooting until July.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Perfect. Thanks, Kay. So thank you guys for tuning in and again, be sure to follow all of us on social media. My name is Candace Cruz. You can find me at Candace R. Cruz.
I'm Keith Andre on all things social media at Keith_Andre.
And I'm Lena Nori. You can find me all over the internet at Lena Nori.
And I'm Erica Shannon, and you can find me on Twitter at Miss Airy Baby.
All right, we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.